Flash Americana Report. Not more than 24 hours ago, I am in the frozen food department of my favorite neighborhood supermarket. I am fooling around there, just fooling, just looking, just feeling, absorbing. Oh, you know how man is, reflecting, absorbing, molding, putting into shape his environment. And I'm standing there in the frozen food department admiring a box of frozen broccoli. Suddenly notice next to the broccoli, next to the Brussels sprouts, next to the frozen minute steaks, I notice a stack of boxes of frozen leftovers. Frozen leftovers. By George. I just thought you ought to know. They are getting too much room.
Ask any Winston smoker about flavor.
He'll tell you
that Winston delivers flavor.
Those Winston 20
times
smokers are loudmouthed.
Exclusive filter blend gives Winston its flavor. And flavor has made Winston America's best-selling filter cigarette. Try Winston.
Oh, he's not up, huh? There it goes.
Hi, this is Nat King Cole. Ah. Come on, let's do it.
For the boys who play in Ba-ba-o. The band, Ba-ba-o. Do it. Music Ba-ba-o. Lovers give a hand to it. For they all in one joy, rhymes old dear. Songwriters often write poems to it. Entertainers in their homes do it. For they all in one joy, rhymes old dear. No other beer is like Rheingold. Man is happy, dry, friendly, and freshening. Every glass tells you why so many millions of chaps do it. Even Mona Lisa may perhaps do it. So do it.
The thing, of course, that is important about the whole concept of frozen leftovers is that we have a strong nostalgia for real life. A really strong nostalgia. As a matter of fact, there was a rumor that went around the city last night that the cab drivers were about to throw out a surprise strike. You probably heard that rumor. But at midnight, all the cabs would cease running out of protest for something or other. And there were many people, probably thousands of people, who felt a sudden thrill of anticipation. Because without their decision, without their own private decision, they would be thrown back into the clutches of the real world. They would feel the thump, thump, would have been a beautiful sight to see Dorothy Kilgallen on the A train, or Candid Nehru taking the Lexington Avenue crosstown shuttle. It's all part of real life. And so your neighborhood supermarket now features frozen leftovers. Hey, it's a nice idea. This old hamburger with a bite out of it and a little bit of old ketchup left on. Because it's real, you see, and reality is becoming a very rare commodity today. It's becoming an exceedingly rare commodity. You probably saw that cartoon of the New Yorker shows a guy sitting in his chair this week. He's looking kind of sore. And his wife was looking very righteous. A typical member of the PTA and the Women's Afternoon Theater Matinee Club. And she's saying, Charles, I think it's very unfair of you to say that Camelot is a rotten show before it's even open. You see, Charles was merely being realistic. And Charles, of course, being a realist, was running afoul of that great, soft, golden ethereal dream that hangs over. You know, I've heard it said that the circuses are dead. You know, you keep hearing this myth that the circus world has disappeared. Oh, no. The circus world never disappears. It was certainly working very well during the days of the Roman Empire, when people subsisted on bread and circuses. It did very well. It continued to go throughout all of the historical ages of man and has arrived today on Broadway. Has it occurred to you, really, seriously, has it occurred to you that the American musical has taken the place of the circus? And in exactly the same way, loud bands, people wearing tights, loud music, dancers, people moving back and forth, fast moving, hoopla, oh, hoopla, hoopla. Cover of Time magazine, 14 pages of description of the forthcoming gigantic opus, 47 carloads of scenery, a cast of 550 elephants, horses, dogs, pretty girls, little people, big people, freaks, all sorts of people. In fact, if you sit real quiet right now, real steep, you feel the slight rumbling underneath the road. You feel it? That is the sound of Camelot approaching. 227 carloads of seats. 117 members of the band, all of them carrying trombones, tom-toms, and bass drums. 248 tons of costuming, complete with beads, spangles, chainmail, and rattling pants. Oh, the circus hasn't left. No. It's just, come, my dear. Come. With me. Fly with me. We shall go to Shangri-La. And we shall live forever. In peace and quiet. In eternal happiness. And you shall be always... reside eternally in the billowing laps of the gods. So come, join me. Come, my dear. It's only $15 a seat. Eternal youth. Keep that in abeyance, Ralph. That's too good to waste. You know, once it was told to me by a shrewd and a very realistic theater manager, said we're living in an age where people suspect anything they get free. And the more they pay for it, the least they suspect it. And the more they honor it. Because the sincerest form of honor in our time is to lay garlands, wreaths woven of dollar bills at the feet of the icons. This is our grief. This is our myrrh and frankincense. In fact, I heard a commercial the other day that set all the little marabands jangling. This guy was doing a commercial on one of the FM stations, and he said, the International Monetary Finance Corporation of North America, South America, and Queens would like to recommend for a wonderful surprise gift for your children today, a $25 savings bond. Not a government savings bond, but just money. Money, money. So lay those wreaths. And so this theater man said, look, he said, after all, he says, if people paid 75 cents to see Mary Martin, they'd be throwing eggs. If they pay $20 to see Mary Martin, they quietly doze. They quietly doze, feel that soft, warm sense of being in the presence of the God. Of the expense of God. We don't really love a God, you know, that doesn't exact a toll. I mean, if a great, great, all-seeing ruler did not demand much of us, we would not honor him. And so it's $20 a seat. In fact, one of the old Broadway myths is that the prices of Broadway theater tickets have gone up too high. And this is what's killing the play. No, this theater manager told me, this is what's making the play. He says, as a matter of fact, often when a play is given twofers, you know what is a twofer? He says, nobody comes anyway. He says, actors have been known to stand out in front of dying plays and say, please come in, I'm giving threefers. Three, come. And they continue to, in fact, they'll even walk faster. Speaking of the free world, if you're going to make the Village scenes this coming weekend, I have a couple of recommendations, particularly the Paper Book Gallery. And in the paper, you know, the whole mystique of culture in America today is getting out of hand. It's getting, I don't know, we're on all hands, everywhere one looks, there's a group of magazines devoted to jazz. In fact, I expect one day to see a magazine that's just devoted to letters to the editor. It has nothing to do with anything except just write a letter to us and we'll publish it. An angry letter. or a Euconian.